Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well this morning. What a blessing it is. Ought to be in the Lord's house and experience the presence of the Lord in this place and already being ministered to by the congregational singing as well as the special music. What a blessing. I trust that you see it that way as well. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you'd look with me to the book of Psalms in chapter 146. 146. We're going to read, there's only 10 verses and a powerful psalm. I love this psalm. And we're going to read all 10 verses. So Psalms chapter 146, verse 1 down to verse 10. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Verse 1, the Bible says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princesses, nor in the son of man, or humanity, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, in that every day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners, The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God. O Zion, unto all generations, praise ye the Lord." Let's pray. Father, as we bow before you this morning, we do want to praise you. Lord God, praising you for just simply being who you are. You're worthy of all honor, glory, worship, and praise. Praising you for the blessings and the opportunities that you bestow upon us and that you bring into our lives and the opportunity to be in church this morning. We thank you for that. We praise you for that. For what we've already received, what an encouragement, how it's blessed our souls. And now, Father, as we even look at this psalm and just reading these verses and being blessed by the truths that are found therein, we thank you for it. Now I just pray that you would empower the preaching of thy word. I ask God that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. In verse 5, the Bible says, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." Part of the Declaration of Independence that was written down by our founding fathers says this: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal." Now, I love that. It doesn't say they evolved to be equal. Our founding fathers believed in a creator God. This nation was founded on the fact that there is a creator God, and in him, in God, we do trust. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty," and this is what I want you to think about this morning, and the pursuit of happiness. The pursuit of happiness. Can I say that everyone today is somewhat motivated by this? Everyone in this room has somewhat been affected by this idea of the pursuit of happiness. Around the world, it might mean something different to individuals, but all of humanity have been affected by this idea of the pursuit of happiness. God is concerned about our happiness. Say, preacher, how do you know that God is concerned about our happiness? Well, there are 27 references in God's Word concerning this idea of happy. I believe God knew it would be an attraction to mankind. This feeling, this emotion, this idea of being happy. At the same time as God was concerned about our happiness, He also realized and knew that Satan would use this concept of happiness to consume mankind. Many sins have been committed by the pursuit of happiness. By focusing on this idea and this concept of being happy above everything else, and no matter who it affects, my happiness is what's most important. This type of thinking Satan has used in many sins, and even in our own lives. We have committed many sins in the pursuit of a concept which is really more of the flesh, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, focused on what I think is going to make me happy. In Psalms 146, I thank God for this psalm as you read it and study it, because Psalms 146 helps us to know what genuine happiness is dependent upon. God is concerned about it, or there would not be 27 references to happy in the Scriptures, in the Word of God. And you can do a Bible research, a Bible study on that, and just study every verse, and you'll find that God has purpose for that, and God is concerned about our happiness. In Psalms 146, we find that we have man's thoughts. In addressing man's thoughts, he says, "Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, or the sons of men, or humanity, in whom there is no help." Concerning this idea of happiness, listening to what humanity will present to you as what's going to bring happiness into your life, the Bible says, don't put your trust in that in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, what he says goeth forth, and it returneth to the earth, in that every day his thoughts perish. What man says will die with man. Man's truths will perish with men. Men's philosophies will take you as far as a man can take you. And so we have man's thoughts, and the Bible reveals to us that we have these. And God says, don't put your trust in that. And then we have what God says about it. Happy is he. That's not man's thoughts. That's not man's writings. This is what the Word of God reveals. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Amen. Even knowing this, most will try pursuing the same things year after year, seeking this concept of happiness. The number one thing that people do a lot at the first of the year, and I believe it's in the pursuit of happiness, they'll make New Year's resolutions. And they'll decide and determine what they think is going to make them happy or happier. And most, the number one thing would be self-improvements. And the top of the list of self-improvements is improved appearance. So, what do most people, and Buddy even quoted it for himself on Wednesday night, starting a diet. He had to wait till after New Year's so he could eat his last piece of pie. Why would a person go on a diet? To improve appearance. Self-improvements. Because if I can only look better, I'll feel better. If I can only look the way I want to look, stop looking in the mirror. That'll bring me happiness. And so in my pursuit of happiness, I know that physical appearance, I'm going to have to work on dieting and exercise. And one of the growing fads of our day and age that we live in today is cosmetic surgeries. I don't want to look old, and so let's remove the wrinkles. And on and on and on when it comes to cosmetic surgeries. It's something, my wife just commented on that, seeing somebody, one actor back in her day, and by looking at this actress, you could tell she has had multiple cosmetic surgeries. But in her mind, evidently, it was in the pursuit of happiness. It'll make me, no one will remember me. And being an old woman, it'll help me to look young. In our pursuit of happiness, the number one would be self-improvements. The number two, possibly, would be that of finances. A new budget. A new budget. A better job. If I can only have more money, if I can only get a better job, if I can have more, do better with my finances, then that will bring happiness into my life. Better investments. Number three thing could possibly be an improvement on my possessions. If I can have a better house, a better place to live, then that's going to be bring me happiness. If I could have a little bit nicer home, if I could have a little bit nicer car. And we're looking at this year and we're thinking, you know, pursuit of happiness, that's what I need. If I can have a more possession, more stuff, a better transportation, mode of transportation. Maybe if I could add a boat to my possessions. If I could add a motorcycle to my possessions, if I could just have more toys, give me more recreation, I'll be happier in 2015. Possibly something else would be improved relationships. Improved relationships in my marriage. That's what I'm going to work on. Because if I can have a better marriage, mama happy, everyone's happy. Amen? If I can have a better relationship with my spouse, that's going to bring to me this idea, this concept of happiness. And I'm going to pursue happiness. And so what I need to have happiness in my life this next year is better relationships with my spouse. Takes two for that. Better relationships with my children. Takes two for that. a better relationships with my coworkers, a better relationship with my friends in my pursuit of happiness. Now, I'm not discrediting any of those things, because I think that possibly we ought to work on all those things. But is that really what it's going to take to bring happiness into my life? Psalms 3 and 4, Psalms 146, 3 and 4 says, don't put your trust in that. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man or humanity, in whom there is no help. What you think is going to return back to the earth, and every day his thoughts perish. And as I said, not that some of these things are not important, they are. But where it begins, where the pursuit of happiness ought to begin, is to address what God says about it. We need to be able to address these other things, but we address these other things, whether it be self-help, self-improvement, self-finances, possessions, relationships, we need to be able to address them in light of what God says. To keep them in their right perspective, instead of putting priority upon self-improvement, and that's what I need. Listen to me, that's not what you need most of all. Now, you might need to go on a diet, and you might need to do some exercise. You might need to work on your health and repair, whatever that might be. But that's not what you need most of all. What you need most of all is God. And when you have God as a number one priority in your life, then you can focus on these other things in light of what God says about them. We definitely need to have better relationships. And with better relationships, that will bring in a better life, if you will. But listen to me, you'll not have better relationships if your relationships is based upon what man says and the philosophies of the world. But when your relationships are based upon what thus saith the Lord, and they are yielded to concerning the will of God for marriage, and the will of God for parenting, and the will of God for friendships, they will produce more joy and happiness. They need to be addressed in light of what God says. The psalmist begins his psalm by saying, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, O my soul, while I live. Most important thing, while I live, the most important thing I'll do with my life, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being, because happy is he. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. God reveals that we first of all need him. Happy is he. Matter of fact, right across from 146 is 144, verse 15 says this, happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Almighty God says that right there. If you have God, if you have God, you have this idea, you have the possibility, you have the means by which you can experience happiness at any time. That's what he's talking about. If you genuinely believe in God and you have him, what do you mean you have him? You have received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. The only way that you can have God is to have the Son of God. The only way that you can have the Son of God is to realize that you have need of a Savior, and that he came some 2,000 years ago and he died on Calvary's cross to pay a sin debt that you owed and could not pay. And he paid it because he had a great love for you. And he offers you a free gift of everlasting life. All you have to do is believe and then receive by calling upon the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you have been saved, you have God. And if you have not been saved, you don't have God. And your pursuit of happiness is going to be all over the place. And Satan will use that more in your life to destroy you than to help you. But he says, "You happy is he that hath God." When you have God, that means that you truly believe in God. And when you truly believe in God, at any moment, no matter what your circumstances, no matter what your situation, you can stop and think about who God is. And you can read Psalms. You can read His Word because you know that He is. You can read this God which hath made heaven and earth. The more you understand, the more you see the earth and the size and the reality of the galaxies, the reality of space. And yet somehow, some way, we can't understand it fully, our minds cannot, but we have faith to believe the Word of God, that God spoke the worlds into existence. That's how powerful of a God that we have. And when I think about that, you know what it does for me? When I think about the power of God, the person of God, it brings an expression of happiness. What is the main expression of happiness? Smile. One of the main physical expressions of happiness is found because it's going through me. It goes through inside of me and it comes out by way of a smile. And no matter what situation you find yourself in, no matter what's going on in your life, if you have God and you just draw back for a few minutes there and you just realize who God is, block everything else out and just think about who God is, how can you not smile? This Creator God loved me enough to send His only begotten Son, loved me enough to make a way for me to know Him. Smile. Wow. In Psalms chapter 16, Psalms chapter 16 and verse 11 says this. Let me just read it to you. Another of the Psalms, that word happy is found throughout the Scriptures, but 16:11 says this: "Thou wilt show me the path of life in thy presence." Knowing that I have God, I'm always in His presence. And in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Knowing and believing will lead to worship and praise. Knowing and believing God will lead us to genuine worship and praise, which will bring out an expression of happiness. When you come to church and you sense the presence of God here, and when we get you to sing congregational songs, we're singing praises unto the Lord, and when you truly believe and you understand, when you understand the reason for congregational singing, and you understand even the series that we're on right now on Sunday nights, why we do what we do, and you understand it's part of just acknowledging God. And when you're singing those songs, if you would allow yourself, if you'll put everything else out of your mind and focus on, most importantly, what you're able to receive while you're here, can I tell you, when you're singing, what it will do for you? It'll bring an expression of happiness. You'll find yourself smiling. You'll find yourself being filled with this joy. when you listen to special music, and I love this as a pastor, I look out and I can tell when God is really using a special and God is speaking to the congregation. You can look out there and people are almost in a trance. And in a trance, you know, you could tell the just joy of receiving what God had for you. He that hath God. Happy is he that hath God. In order for you to have genuine happiness, in order for you to be able to recall that at any moment, you have to have God. You have to have God. See, salvation equips us with this opportunity to experience happiness at any time. When you get saved, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. As you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you have the fruit of the Spirit. One of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. And it's the joy which produces genuine happiness. If you don't have that, you don't have genuine joy. You don't have that spiritual life. And outside of a spiritual life, your pursuit of happiness will be dependent upon the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Wow. Not only, look back with me to Psalms chapter 146. Not only do we, the Bible says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob, the only true God, the creator God, the God of the Old Testament, the God of the New Testament. But it also goes on and says, hath the God of Jacob for his help. Which understanding we have God and his help also will bring a smile to your face. Not only knowing God, but having his help. Man's help is limited, but God's help is limitless. That's what this psalm tells us. Goes on down and tells you, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. His truth will not pass away. It'll keep it forever. Which executeth judgment for the oppressed. Which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them up that are bowed down. He's helping them. He's ministering to them. The Lord, verse 10, the Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generation. Listen to me. Understand that we have not only God, but we have God's help. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. A few years ago, I don't exactly recall how long it was, but this building now, this auditorium is 20 years old, and the carpet wore out, probably however long ago, 5-6 years ago. And I knew that we was going to have to replace the carpet, and so I talked about to the carpet layers, and I got it all planned out, but they said, you know, you'll have to move the pews. And I said, oh, no problem, we'll do that. And I remember thinking, how in the world are we going to move the pews? And I'm thinking, well, I can force my staff to come. And I'm thinking how long it's going to take for myself and the staff to be able to come in here and to move all of these pews and find a place for these pews. And we presented it to the church. After the Sunday night, I'm thinking that, well, all the men will be gone this Sunday night. They won't. After the service on Sunday night, we said, all right, everyone's going to be able to help stay. And I guarantee, what a blessing it was. When the women made their way out and the men stayed. And I'm looking out there and I'm thinking, we have a huge task. But then I looked out and I seen all the men. And I thought, help. And when I realized we had help, you know what it did for me? I guarantee you, it made me happy. I'm thinking, less stress on my back. And we seen the men that had the young guys, that had the strong backs and the muscles. And I'm thinking, whoa, praise the Lord for them. I can orchestrate it. I can oversee. And I'll make sure that I mark the pews and tell them where to take them. And let those that are able, a little bit more physically able. Because these pews are heavy. To move them. And that was the help of our church family. Can I tell you something that's going to bring happiness into your heart and your life? Not only when you know that you have God, but you have God's help. No matter what the circumstances of your life. No matter what you have going on. And knowing because of your faith, knowing that you have God, and knowing because of your faith you have God's help. When you realize that, no matter what the task, you'll be able to find happiness. You'll be able to find yourself smiling. Not focused on the task, but focused on the help that God gives in time of need. That grace to help. The presence of God. See, when you look to God and you have Him and His help, then you can look to those other things that you might have to address in your pursuit of happiness. Not only there, lastly this morning, look back, it's right there in the verse 5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. But then one other thing he presents there, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Hope. I've heard said many times, the worst thing about hell is it's a place where there's no hope. The worst thing that we could experience on this earth is no hope. But the Bible says, happy is he who hath God, who knows you hath his help. And you know, we have our hope is in the Lord. Not only do we have faith in God's help, but we have hope in, for the future. Our hope in God is to look forward to how it will all turn out. Even we're going through some tough times. Going through some times, it's hard to bring out a smile. If you can focus on God and His help, and at that time, His hope, you can even smile in the midst of the storms. James chapter 5, we're done. One that went through some of the worst storms that are known to mankind was Job. Can't imagine losing all of your children at one time. Can't imagine losing all your wealth. The pursuit of happiness would have been all those things if his happiness was dependent upon those things. His own health. James in chapter 5 and verse 10, it says this. Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them, look right, what does it say? Happy. Happy. In their pain and suffering and afflictions? Which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of a tender mercy. The one thing that got Job through it was his hope in God and knowing that God had purpose and knowing that while he was going through it, because of his hope in God, that everything would turn out. Everything would turn out right. When you know no matter what, it'll all turn out. It all be for good. God will work in it in the midst of it. Even though you might not be able to smile because you're facing the trial and the troubles, but when you focus on God, His help, and His hope, you find that smile. Happiness. And our pursuit of happiness affects us all. Our founding fathers realized what a great nation. We have life and liberty. And everyone will be able to have their pursuit of happiness. We're living in this great nation, but our happiness is not dependent upon this great nation. Our pursuit of happiness must begin with God. Are you looking to God first? We're starting this new year. A lot of things taking place. Are you looking to God first in your pursuit of happiness? If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. You can listen to man. His thoughts are going to die with him. Or you can listen to God, whose truths are eternal. You want true, genuine, lasting happiness that you can turn to at any moment, in any trial, in any set of circumstances to find that smile, that expression? Turn to God. Ask yourself this morning, do I have God? That's a question that only you can answer. Do you have the Lord? It's God's will that you have Him. God's not willing that any should perish. All you have to do is believe and receive. You can have Him today. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for this understanding of our pursuit of happiness. Pray that you would just work in our midst now and bless in this invitation time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.